Welcome to Season 15 of the Follow My Lead podcast, where each week I bring you stories and best practices of today's leaders to help you on your leadership journey. My name is John Eads. Here we go! Welcome back. I'm excited you're here. It's hard to believe Season 15 is upon us. And to think that we've done over 120 episodes of the show, or nearing 300,000 downloads. We have an incredible lineup of guests in the upcoming seasons. I'm filled up, man. I'm really filled up to move into this season and bring you as much possible value as I can. Now, a couple weeks ago, I was introduced to a woman named Sue Heiser by one of the biggest encouragers in my life. She wrote a book called Your Epic Experiment, a 90-day personal challenge 1.0. And it's all about tackling a dream that you have always wanted to achieve, knowing that those dreams can be daunting and challenging. So it's really a goal-oriented book to help change habits and then attempt to develop new habits that are often just overwhelming for you individually. And it provides guidance and structure and a path forward to make a difference in your life. And she really documents this 12-week action journal to help shape your journey and tell your story by providing weekly ideas and a place to track progress and coaching questions. It's really just kind of an interesting idea for a journal to help you do whatever might be daunting in your life. And I had Sue on the show to discuss the ideas in the book and what it really meant to have an epic experiment and to help anybody on their 90-day personal challenge. And we had a couple technical difficulties on my end, but we did put some clips together from the show for you to hear to kind of how to give you an idea, not only about the book, but also about how you could design something that might be 90 days to create your own epic experiment. Now, after going through it and putting some real thought to it this weekend, I came up with a little bit of a new idea. I'm going to start a 90-day epic experiment to help you become the best leader and professional that you can be. And I'm going to open up enrollment for no more than 15 people to join me for 90 days to become the best leader and professional that you can be. The program is going to kick off on May 21st with a Zoom conference, video-based. And anyone who's going to join me for this 90-day experiment, our team has documented a path that includes leveraging our Welder Leader Assessment, the program, and online curriculum. You're going to have some one-on-one video-based calls with me, a monthly group coaching call with everybody that joins us. And we're going to make a concerted effort to make these next 90 days, starting on May 21st, as impactful as they can be on your professional journey. So if you're interested in joining us, you just have to email me at jeads@learnloft.com, J-E-A-D-E-S at learnloft.com, and our team will forward you the details this week. Now, I know this isn't for everyone, but I wanted to do something epic. And instead of just having our clients, who are typically organizations, pay us to work with their employees and help their people on their journey, I wanted to find a way to help you one-on-one. So my commitment is at the end of this 90-day journey, I will do everything in my power to help you take the next step in your career as an organizational leader, or to help you get that position in your organization to make the biggest steps in your life. So if you're interested, you can email me at jeads, J-E-A-D-E-S, at learnloft.com, and we will send you the details. I don't typically do this on the show, but I've had so many incredible calls and emails and texts, and I want to find a way to help people on a deeper level in their career. And so this is the way we're going to do it. We're going to do 90 days, no BS. We're going to make an impact on your career together in a small group environment, taking some ideas from all the best practices that we've learned And we're going to help you become a better leader and a better person in the next 90 days, one-on-one. And I'm super excited about it. Now, we've also put together some clips for you to show, for you to hear from the show with Sue Heiser, which has, it's loaded with a bunch of great stuff. So whether you join this 90-day challenge with us to help you become a better leader and a better professional, either way, you're going to be able to take some ideas from Sue to help you by yourself. So without further ado, here is some interesting clips from my conversation with author Sue Heiser.
Well, Sue, thanks for being on the show.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity, John. Thank you.
What are you trying to help other people overcome? What's an example of that?
Well, the idea came initially. So this is like 8 years ago that we're always trying to overcome our own barriers. We're our own biggest challenges. We're the ones that give ourselves all these self-doubt that can't do it. What are you thinking? You know, all that internal dialogue that goes on. So the 90-day time frame came about because I was working with a group of women. We were doing a women's health program, and we had done two of these a year. And each year we had given out a membership for fitness. And they said, okay, so we're in our planning meeting in like December, and this is going to be in May. And we said, well, let's go to those people that we gave those fitness memberships and let's find out what they've done. And you go ahead, you take a guess as to what you think they had done.
Not much.
Not much at all. So we sat there and we said, we keep giving these things away and it's not happening. So it was January, I was out running, and I said, I'm going to do 90 days. I'm going to try and lose weight, and I'm going to record what I do, and I'm going to do one of the presentations at the thing. And I'm out there running, and all of a sudden I got all this energy. I'm just running like crazy. And this little voice comes up and says, but wonder if you fail. And I slowed down. And the other voice, because you know we have multiple voices in our heads. Don't you love that? This other voice said, no way. You're going to be completely successful. If you have to do a presentation, Heiser, you're going to be successful. And I ran fast again. And then the voice came back again and said, but wonder if you lose weight and then you don't keep it off, because that's a major problem. And that's when I said, stop. This conversation is part of the presentation. And I went to the group and I said, this is what I want to do. I want to experiment for 90 days. I'm going to have a wellness coach, and I'm going to record my journey and I'm going to come back here and tell them. So I dove in. I dove into books. I dove into ideas, wellness coaches, and I had this special little journal that I had bought in Europe the year before is a blank journal, and I decorated it, and I made all these notes of success I had, ideas I had, things I was trying, and I had a ball with it. And I lost like 15, 20 pounds or something like that, and I had a great story to share. It was a great presentation. It really was cool. It really got people's attention. It got people's attention so much that the next program, we asked if other people wanted to do it, and we start taking people through 90-day programs, whatever they wanted. It could be emotional, spiritual, physical, mental. It didn't matter. They came up with their goal. They came up with ways they wanted to do it. Sometimes we gave them journals to use. Sometimes we gave them checklists, like 9 things in 90 days. You do 9 things, and they would come back at the end of that 90 days and share their story.
So I'm hearing a couple consistent patterns. One is a journal in these 90 days, whatever you're trying to overcome or break barriers for, if it's weight loss, fear, physical, spiritual, mental, whatever those things are, 90 days, and there's a journal. How often did you journal? And was it morning? Was it evening? How long would they be? Was it all written? Is it virtual? Is it digital? Mm-hmm. What are things that have worked well for you? And then now that you've done this across many people, what are the things that our audience could learn from? Why should they journal and how should they do it?
Well, for me, I'm always journaling. So I think for most people, it gave them a chance. For most people, it gives them a chance to record something, just kind of show progress. You know, when you're trying to change a habit, you don't realize how deeply entrenched that habit is.
And I want to stop you. A habit is something that we do unconsciously. Okay.
Yes.
So this is why that's so hard, because we're doing it unconsciously. a behavior is something that we do consciously. A habit is something that we do unconsciously. And so if it's unconscious and it's a habit, that's why we have such a hard time changing it.
And that's why the very first piece is really about just noticing what's going on. Because you just got to become aware of what's happening around you. And then you start to kind of break down and say, okay, now what is it that I really should be doing? What's the best way to do it? But this is a very conscious thing. That's why the journal can be whatever epic experiment you want. I've given 10 different ways over those 12 weeks of try it this way, apply this approach, try this, just as a way for people to explore it in a different way than they ever have before. Mm. So it's, and that's why I also made it a 1.0. I said it's a 90-day personal challenge 1.0, because based on feedback I'm going to get, I'm going to continue to change it and modify it so we can get it to the point that it really can make the impact that people want it to make.
With the invention of social media, and so many people are using that as an accountability tool to get completed whatever their epic experiment might be. You know, I'm starting this journey now. Here's a picture of me now, and I'm using this to hold myself accountable. Mm-hmm. My question is twofold. One is that a good way to hold yourself accountable to any kind of epic experiment that our listeners might have, or you might have, or I might have? And if it isn't, or if it is, what are other ways to hold yourself accountable to completing all 90 days?
So one thing we talk about in coaching is to really experiment and to really figure out a way that you can kind of become what that is. So this idea, whether you use Stephen Covey's idea of begin with the end in mind, or really placing yourself in that scenario and saying, this is who and what I want to be, and this is what it's going to look like, this is what it's going to feel like. I mean, all of those things allows you to start to imagine that it really has occurred. And, you know, certainly on a metaphysical basis, what people say is that once you start putting that out there, you know, whether it's those vision boards or all that other stuff, you start to make that tweak, that change that makes you start to see yourself a little bit differently. Because that internal dialogue that you're having is the one that's keeping you safe and keeping you where you are right now. Because the ego, that little voice, wants you to stay as safe as you possibly can, and you're going to stay where you are now. It isn't until that little voice sees there's a better thing going on that you finally decide, yeah, I do need to get that other degree, or I need to finish that degree, because unless I do, my future's not safe either.
So how does someone go about holding themselves accountable, right, to complete? Because when it gets hard, what do? Quit.
Stop.
You know, that's right. We're typically going to only push ourselves to the point in which it's uncomfortable. So when it starts to get a little uncomfortable in your 90-day epic experiment and you're really sore, you know the epic experiment is to run a triathlon, but day four, you can barely get out of bed because your legs hurt so bad. How do you keep going?
Well, the triathlon is a great example, since I've done probably 15 or 20 of them. And that training piece, the thing that keeps you moving, is having that 12-week training program that says, today, do this. Today, do this. Today, do this. Mm-hmm. Same type of thing with the journal. The journal keeps you moving forward because it says, okay, you tried this for this week. What did you learn? What helped you? What was something that held you back? Okay, take that into the next week. So the structure of the 90 days, for one thing, 90 days is a nice, comfortable time frame. 1 year is hard. Mm-hmm. 90 days is a nice, comfortable time frame. Try this for this week. And if the only thing you do is make some notes in the journal and then turn the page and go to the next week, for many people, that's huge compared to what they've done before. Mm. So
it's really interesting to
reflect back on it.
Yeah, and one of the, as from a personal perspective, I think that 90-day period is so powerful, because if you start to do something over and over again for 90 days, by the end of that 90 days, you're doing it without thinking, almost that habit like we talked about earlier.
Yep.
You're creating these positive habits that will help you get where you're trying to go. And all of a sudden, it won't be, you know, if it's an easy thing, it won't be hard not to have another cocktail. right? Or to have a drink at all, right? Or it might be easy to not have a carb because you've had 90 days of no carbs. Whatever it might be, where it's like one reason why that 30-day window is hard is because it hasn't quite become a habit yet. I mean, you're doing all these good things for 30 days, but it's pretty easy to fall back into the pattern of behavior that was happening before this epic experiment started. And I personally think that's why the 90-day is so powerful, because much more likelihood of it becoming a habit.
This is where it gets interesting. So when Sue and I started talking about this 90-day, why 90 days, changing habits is so important, we left kind of a stone unturned, which is if it's 90 days to become a better leader, or 90 days to run a triathlon, or 90 days to get in better shape or lose weight or whatever your 90-day might be, the question then became, well, what holds us back from doing that? What holds us back from even getting started? What holds us back from even taking on a challenge, if you will? And I think what she shares next really put a good visual on why you should start something, whether it's the 90-day challenge with us, or it's getting in better shape, or if it's working on your faith walk, or if it's working on, you know, whatever your epic challenge might be that you want to take on in your life. I think that that self-doubt and fear of getting started is a huge barrier. And Sue provides some great insight and some imagery into how to put that to bed.
At some point, a person has been stifled in some way, mm-hmm. that says that they're not able to do something great. And that self-talk that they have is holding them back and making them say, no, don't you go there. You stay safe. Don't you take a risk. That external judgment, that judgment from other people, and as well as the judgment they have for themselves, holds them back so much they will not go there.
And then how did you overcome that to write this book?
And part of that was just saying, okay, what is the book that I think so important that we just need to, it just needs to be out there. And part of it was some of these things I also have as a result of classes that I've taught, mm-hmm. and I've seen how they resonate with people, and I see what they do when they finally can, you know, take a little pacifier and put it in that internal voice that's like, no. When I learned to take a pacifier and give it to that little voice and said, you go over there, you're going to be safe, you're all right, you sit there with my little pacifier, that allowed me to move on and do some other things. And I've heard from many people that they've said the same thing.
I love the visual, right?
Isn't that a great one?
Let's put a pacifier in doubt.
I also tell them, and you can put whatever taste you want on that pacifier. It can be alcohol. It can be anything. It's all fake. Give it to them, and then just go. You just hear that little voice.
I'll tell you a funny story. The only way, I was a really terrible baby. And I was an awful baby, apparently. I don't remember anything. I barely remember yesterday, but I know I've been told many times I was a terrible baby. So my mom would dip my pacifier in syrup, and that was the only way that she could get that thing to stay in there. And so it's a really cool visual. Like, whatever's holding you back, that doubt, that fear, that thing that's holding you back from doing something epic – put a pacifier in it and go do something epic, and use a journal and use some of these strategies that's laid out in the book to help you go do whatever is epic to you.
I tell you, and that's the thing that we've got to look at. You probably didn't see the very last page of the book, but it has my picture and my bio. And right under my picture, I say, place your picture over mine. This is your story. And I say the same thing, replace my bio with your own and share your story. I mean, this book should be a way that people in 10 years will take it out and say, look what I did. Look at this great epic thing that I did. And it put me on this path. And therefore, this is where I'm going now, so that they can start to see the world as I can change it.
Thanks for joining us on another week of the show. If you like this, do me a favor and share it
with a colleague or a friend, or leave a comment, review, and recommendation wherever you listen to podcasts. Anything that would help us spread the message of leadership, it would mean a great deal to me in my heart. Until next time, be a good leader at work and at home.